Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, and today's episode has a very special guest. With huge thanks to Shell, I'm going to be having a chat with Ferrari Formula One driver Charles Leclerc. Now, I've worked with Shell for like the last 5 years, and sort of every year they seem to step up the ante in terms of awesome things we get to do together. So yes, they've amazingly got me some time to have a chat with Charles for this podcast. Of course, as you can imagine, doing anything virtually these days is always difficult. This was a video conference. The quality is not exceptional. We tried our best, but I think still any chance to have a chat with the Formula One driver, I wouldn't really care if it was through a string. What were those old things called? You know, where you had a paper cup and a string, and then you could talk. Anyway, so look, I hope you're going to enjoy it. I found it really interesting. I found it really fascinating. Huge thanks once again to Shell for making this all possible. At the end of the episode, things will just end. We didn't do a very formal outro, so make sure to let me know what you think in the comment section below. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. I can't promise that they will all have Formula One drivers in them, but who knows? If you're listening, make sure to keep following on whatever platform you're listening to on. And you patrons out there, we absolutely love you. So yeah, sit back and relax and hopefully enjoy my chat with Formula One driver Charles Leclerc. Charles, welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm so glad that Shell have made this happen. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Hi, Sam.
All good. I'm in Russia at the moment, getting ready for this weekend for the race. So everything good.
Well, look, we're gonna get into a lot of F1 chat, but I actually want to start off a little bit on road cars because my entire audience know I'm a Ferrari obsessive. And okay, fine, you are a Scuderia Ferrari driver, but I do think you might also be a bit of a Ferrari mega fan. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Oh yes, yeah, for sure. I mean, who isn't? Everyone that likes cars likes Ferrari, and it's exactly the same for me.
Do you remember where your kind of loving for the Ferrari brand started?
Well, viewing of Formula One, I think I fell in love first with the Formula One brand, and then obviously seen the Ferrari cars in Monaco, because there are quite a lot there. So I could see a bit all of the models, but I think the first time I fell in love with it was in 2003 during the Monaco Grand Prix, and I can remember watching the red car and obviously dreaming of one day driving it.
That's exactly it. I was going to say, growing up in Monaco, you are literally surrounded by Ferraris because they are every other car. But I was kind of the same, I think. For me, the Schumacher era, like that was where I kind of fell in love with Ferrari as a team. And then the road cars came a bit later for me. But do you kind of remember, was there an experience? Did you see, you know, an Enzo drive past you through Casino Square or something like that? Or was there a moment with a road car that you went, oh, one day I want to own one of those, not only race them on the track?
Probably the F12. F12 was like, is my dream car. I mean, it's an amazing car. I love the sound, and the F12 was one of those cars that I was just dreaming of having one day.
I had a friend in Monaco who had a dark red F12, and I think he'd done some things to it. It was insanely loud, and I think he only ever went around the Fairmont hairpin sideways, which I'm not sure should be advised, but it definitely made the car seem quite attractive, I'll say that. And so then, I mean, a lot of Formula 1 drivers or racing drivers tend to drive amazing on-track cars before they actually drive great road cars. What was the first road Ferrari that you actually drove? Do you remember? Was it when you joined the team, or did you have an experience before you joined the team?
I didn't have an experience before joining the team. I think it was the 812. Okay. I think the first
a bad place to start.
Amazing car.
Well, look, I'm jealous of that experience, I'm sure. But look, it is Shell that's brought us together, so I have to sort of, you know, talk about that side of things as well when it comes to road cars, because being a Schumacher obsessive and that whole era, I was the guy taking my Golf to find V-Power, because I was like, well, if Schumi's putting it in his car, then surely I should be putting it in my 1.4 litre Golf. Did you have that kind of brand association as well? Did you sort of seek out, are you a saddo like me that seeks out V-Power for whatever car you're in?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's important. At the end, I take care of my cars very, very well, because obviously cars, it's my life. Motorsport is my life, and I want to take care of my cars. And I know what's put in the Shell V-Power fuel, and that's why I use it. Firstly, because it's good for the I've lost the word, for the
engine
reliability of the car, but also for the performance. So both things combined makes it an easy choice.
For sure. And I think that was the thing as well. Working with Shell the last 5 years, I've learned so much about actually it's more than just a little added horsepower here and there. You know, reliability, you say, is a major thing. Do you see much correlation between the work that you do with Shell on track and with the team and then, you know, the sort of road car fuel?
Oh, yeah. 99% of the fuel is exactly the same, which is hugely impressive. So from a Formula One fuel to a normal road car fuel, 99% of the fuel is exactly the same. So yes, everything we are developing in Formula One is then brought to the road car industry.
Amazing. It's always that when I learned that blew my mind, because I always assumed that you'd be putting, you know, absolute rocket fuel into the Formula One cars. But it makes me feel better when I put V-Power in my car, because I'm like, oh yes, it's basically Formula One fuel. But look, let's move on to F1, because as I say, that's where I kind of like to nerd out. And here on the podcast, we do nerd out about F1 every now and again. So 2020, it's been a weird year. Let's just come out and say it. But what's it been like to kind of, you know, get back on track, especially after such a long break at the start of the year?
Oh, it was good. I missed racing. I mean, at home, I was during lockdown. I was doing quite a lot of simulator, but it's getting close to the real thing. But it's not the real thing, obviously. So to be back on track was amazing. And then we started from doing nothing for like 2 months or something, or 3 months, and then going, to have like races every week. So it was pretty intense and pretty difficult physically, because normally we are used to drive very often. So for the neck, it was pretty difficult, but very happy to be back in the car.
Was the sensation of driving a Formula One car actually almost refreshed? Because I guess usually you have quite a small off season, right? This was something that you know, usually you're in the car quite a lot. So you had this long period of time. When you got in the car for the first time, you were like, oh my God, I forgot how like insane this is.
Yeah, it did. Actually, I was in Mugello for the first time after the lockdown, and it was pretty special. I mean, for 2 or 3 days after that, I felt quite bad physically, a bit ill actually, just because by the speed of it. So just to get used to all of these things, and obviously we started also again in Mugello, which is not the best track to start again with, because there are quite a lot of G-forces.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a pretty hard one on your neck, I think. But, you know, a big thing for us viewers or fans, I suppose, is the fact that so far we haven't been able to attend any races. I think on TV it's not too bad, but you as a driver, I mean, how much do you notice the lack of fans? I guess maybe in Monza and in the Italian races, it's a big part of you know, Ferrari and the whole feel. But you, Persing, when you're in the car and you're driving, do you notice the empty stands?
Oh, in Monza, I definitely noticed it. I mean, from last year to this year, it changes a lot. It changed a lot. Last year was absolutely crazy. This year, unfortunately, there were no fans or very few. So, yes, it changes, especially when you're on your way to the track. There's nobody waiting at the track for autographs or things like this. So, yeah, it's pretty sad, and it's always nice whenever we are doing a cool-down lap in quali to see the people cheering for you in the grandstand. And this year, we don't have this. So, yes, we are definitely all missing very much the fans.
It's super interesting because I've been lucky enough to be in the paddock every now and again, and I'm always amazed by how many times you guys stop and you stop for photos and autographs, you know, in between sessions or whatever it might be. But I always assumed once you got in the car and pulled the visor down, you kind of went into a bit of a tunnel. But interesting that you're still, you know, you're still aware of the fact that the fans aren't there. Well, fingers crossed, soon enough, we'll all be able to come and annoy you and ask you for autographs in the paddock again. But let's bring it back to Shell again quickly for a second. So on a sort of Grand Prix weekend, how are you working with Shell?
Well, after every sessions, I'm going to speak with my engineer that then makes the connection with the Shell engineers, and I give him my feedback, the most precise ones, and then he goes to the Shell engineers and try to develop as much as possible to improve either short term, so on the weekend, or long term for the development of the future cars. But it's always very, very interesting, and also there are always Shell engineers and scientists at the track analyzing our oil sample at the end of every sessions to try and understand a little bit what we can do better and how to optimize our package.
And you know, it goes without saying that fuels is an important part of going racing. But how important is it to have a partner like Shell?
Well, it's extremely important, especially. Scuderia Ferrari and Shell have been working together for such a long time that you can feel that. The way they work together is very, very impressive. They don't leave anything unknown. Everything is analyzed. Every little details is tried to be improved and to be maximized. So it's very impressive.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago, obviously, Monza last year, pretty incredible scenes and an amazing moment, I think, as anyone who's a Ferrari fan, but a fan of the sport, it was a great moment. But I want to know from you, Monaco is still being a bit of an elusive Formula One race for you in terms of that victory. Would you think that would sort of stand out more? Is that more important to you? I mean, hard to judge, I guess every win's a win, but is Monaco one that you really want to get? You know, get that win at some point?
I would put it on the same level as Monza if I ever win in Monaco. I mean, Monaco is my home Grand Prix, so it's very special. But to be honest, last year, Monza felt like my home Grand Prix by the welcome of the Ferrari fans. Everyone wanted us to win, whether it was me or Seb or Ferrari. That's what mattered to them. And I could feel that support in the car. And it's exactly the same thing in Monaco. In Monaco, it's weird. I mean, these are the streets that I've been taking by bus to go to school. And now I'm racing a Formula One car, which is what I've always dreamed. So, yes, to win there will mean a lot to me.
Get the victory and head straight to sunset, hey? But yeah, I think it would be pretty special. I can definitely see that. Well, look, I'm just having a little scroll through here. Again, we talked about sim racing stuff that you did during lockdown. You know, was that a bit of fun, or did you actually feel like it sort of helped to keep you sort of, you know, dialed in and hone your skills? Because I will say, Charlotte, I've done a bit of sim racing, and based on my abilities on a sim, I should never go near a Formula One car. But how realistic, how helpful is it?
Oh, I think it's a bit of both. Surely I wanted to have some fun. We were with Lando Norris, with George, with Alex. So there were quite a lot of racing drivers, and we were all racing each other. So first for competition, for the mentality, this was the same as when I'm getting in a real car. I wanted to win as much as they wanted to win. So that was good. But then also it was quite a good training. I mean, during the whole lockdown, to be yeah, virtually driving was the closest I could get to drive the real thing. So yeah, it was important for me, and I felt it very useful.
I did a race with Rosberg and Coulthard at one point, and I think there's something about the fact that maybe when you're not driving on track in real life, you lose the touch, because they were disastrous. I mean, the amount of accidents that were caused by those two, I was kind of shocked. I said, okay, clearly, guys, the rust has settled in. But weirdly enough, I said I should never go near an F1 car. So I actually drove a few years ago a 2010 F1 car, which was pretty nuts around Paul Ricard. Got about three laps. I think I broke it on the first lap. But anyway, let's move on from that. But the thing that I was kind of amazed by was the brain capacity. You know, there I was trying to take it all in, but I could only just about focus on making sure I didn't bin it into the, you know, tire barrier or flip upside down. Do you ever have moments, you know, around a track where you can relax? Are you always thinking, is there always something to do? Or down the straights at Monza, you're like, oh, I wonder what did you have for dinner tonight?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
No, I don't think about dinner in the car, but there are definitely moments where I can relax. This is a work I've done back in 2010, I think, when I was in Formula Medicine. I went there for mental preparation, for physical preparation, but mental preparation was a big thing. And they learn you how to switch off the brain for a very short period of time and to reconcentrate also very quickly, because it's extremely important. So yes, I always try to switch off whenever I have a small straight or something, because this is something that helps you in the length of the race, because the races are very, very, very long. It's very, very tiring physically, but also mentally. And so anything you can try and save is very important.
Is that, can you still use those tactics even around a place like Monaco, where it looks just as frantic? Do you still have methods and moments where you can kind of find that peace?
There are some places in Monaco, obviously quite a lot fewer compared to Monza, but yes, there are two straights where I always try to switch off.
I can't, yeah, as I say, it does baffle me, because on my experience, I remember everyone just telling me, you know, keep the revs up, obviously, because I think a lot of normal people like me don't realise how high the revs of a Formula One car have to be to keep everything running and going. And the only thing someone told me was use the brakes. The brakes are the most impressive thing. So I was trying to slam on the brakes to kind of feel them and obviously let the revs drop. And I stalled on like turn 10. And I was the only person the whole day that stalled the car and had to roll back. Oh, it was an embarrassing moment. So let's move on from that. But this year, obviously, we just had Mugello recently. Lots of sort of iconic, I guess, historic tracks are kind of coming back to F1 for this season. Let's see if they stick around or not. You know, which ones are you excited about that we still got to go? I think returning to Nürburgring, we've also got Imola. I think that's the one that I'm most excited about. You know, how about you? Any tracks coming back that you're excited to go and experience?
Oh, the ones I know, probably Imola. But I'm also very excited about Turkey, because I don't know the track at all, and it's a new one. But looking on TV, it looked like a very, very cool track. So Yeah, and I think turn eight, so the triple left-hander, I'm really looking forward to try it with this new car.
I was going to say, because the G-forces you guys pull around a lot of different tracks is pretty nuts, but around that corner, you would think with the speeds and stuff, how similar do you think it might be? Because what's the turn in Austin, the right-hander, which is a kind of similar concept, is that pretty brutal for you guys still, or that's not too bad?
Well, it's flat. In qualifying, it's quite easy flat. In the race, though, it's quite tricky sometimes. But I believe that the ones of Turkey is a bit tighter, so it should be a bit more of a challenge for our cars.
You're totally right. I think Turkey, I'd forgotten it's coming back, and that will be pretty epic. But Imola, there's just something about that track, the history, the Formula One history, the races that have been there. I think it'll be very, very cool. So I'm excited for you to experience that. And so talking about historic tracks, let's talk about sort of historic F1. I don't know how much of a fan you are of, like, history of the sport. Obviously, as I say, like, I'm a Schumacher nut, so that was kind of my era. But before that, we obviously had amazing cars, amazing teams, amazing drivers. If there was a sort of historic race where all the teams brought back cars from a different era, is there an era for you personally that gets you excited? Are you a turbo guy? You know, do you like the naughty stuff? What car would you love to race in?
A difficult question. One of the cars that made me dream when I was younger is probably the Ferrari of 2004. So this is a pretty special car. And I can remember the sound when I was in Monaco. I was at school and I could hear the free practice on, I think it was on Thursday still. Sure. But yeah, it was very, very special. So probably this one.
It's one thing I haven't been able to experience as a fan is Monaco with the V8 or V10 engines. You know, I've only been to the races in the hybrid era. And I always think, what must it have been like, you know, back in the V8, V10s, even V12 days with the car? So you must have had a bit of an experience. It must have been nuts, right?
Yeah. It was absolutely crazy, man. I mean, during the classroom, is it how you call it?
Yeah,
classroom. During lessons at school, you just couldn't hear the teacher. There was just way too much.
Vibrating, and I mean, at that point, how do you not want to be an F1 driver at that point? Surely, like, you almost did. Everyone in your class at least go-karting at some point?
Oh, loads of them. But yeah, it's a difficult sport, so it's not for everybody. But loads of them wanted to become a Formula One driver, surely.
Of course, I think that's the thing. You just want to at least give it a go. And then again, you know, to bring it back to Shell for 2 seconds, you know, what kind of improvement can the fuel and oil that Shell develops kind of bring you when you're on track? You know, that work you mentioned doing with them, like, can you see steps forward over a Grand Prix weekend or between Grand Prix? Do you notice those advancements?
Oh yes, you can. Yeah. I mean, I think it was in 2018 or 2019. I think it was in 2018, but I think 21% of the performance gained was only thanks to the fuel. So it's a it's a huge improvement. Wow. So yeah, you can definitely feel the improvements anytime Shell is working with Ferrari to improve the fuel and put a new fuel in the car.
I think that correlates to the road as well. Like I genuinely, especially in the more high powered stuff, but even on everyday cars, putting V-Power in, if you're then going to go and do something sportyish, you do notice a bit of an uptake. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. Well, we've got this kind of weird thing where obviously a lot of new regulations were due to come in for next year, but obviously that's been pushed to 2022. Still an exciting thing to look forward to, I guess, for everyone as the sport, but also, I guess, for you as a driver. Is it something that kind of excites you? Is this kind of new era of F1 something that excites you, or does it daunt you? Do you not want things to change? How do you feel about it?
I'm happy. I mean, Formula 1 improves and evolutes.
Evolves
every year. I'm very happy there's a big step in 2022, which should be for the better of the sport, trying to have cars that follows each other a lot better, which is a bit the problem in Formula 1 at the moment for overtaking, because anytime you are behind a Formula 1 car, you are losing a lot of grip, which makes it very difficult to overtake. So this issue should be addressed it will be a big change. So as drivers, it's very exciting, because anytime there's change, yeah, every driver needs to adapt in the best way possible to that new car. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
And in terms of the looks, I mean, that's the thing that I think we're going to see from the outside as fans, you know, that the looks of the car's going to change so much. Does it really matter? Do I always think when cars get launched at the beginning of the season, I think journalists and people always go, oh, what do you think of how it looks? Do you really care? I mean, if a car was super ugly, but it was 3 seconds faster than everyone else, you wouldn't really care, would you?
Oh, no. I mean, if the car is ugly, but we are fast, I don't care at all. So, yeah, but I mean, if it's beautiful, but normally what happens is that if it's fast, then it becomes beautiful. So it should be fine.
I'm sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the different interpretations and how things look. And I think the cars from the sketches and the ideas definitely look like they're going to be futuristic, which I think also helps because, you know, I think that's the important with F1, that it looks like it's, you know, tech and it's pushing forward into the future. Now, I know F1 teams start developing cars for the future, you know, quite far in advance sometimes. And so, you know, are you starting to work with Shell on that 2022 stuff? You know, are they holding that back, letting you focus on the current season? I mean, how involved are you with working with people like Shell on future projects?
Oh, well, we're always looking forward. I mean, as I said, sometimes we are working short term, but they are always working on long term too. So surely, yeah, the 2022 is in mind for everyone, and we are all working very hard for it.
Do you know, are there key changes for the fuel in 2022 as well?
Yes, well, obviously, with sustainability being a bigger part of today's world, I think there's quite a lot of work on that. And yes, this will be a big program for the next few years.
Of course. Well, look, to sort of round off today, Shell have prepared some quick-fire Q&A questions for us. Now, I'm saying Shell because I don't want to be judged on any of them, but I'm also going to kind of participate. So we'll go through them together, and then we can berate each other for our answers. So yeah, this is supposed to be quick-fire, so we'll kick it off. Number one, naturally aspirated or turbocharged engines?
Naturally aspirated.
I'm going to have to say naturally aspirated. As great as turbocharge can be on the road, sometimes you get that immediate power. There's not naturally aspirated noise. It's just amazing. Manual or automatic? I mean, I was going to say on the road, but of course there were, you know, fully manual Formula One cars. So let's just say manual or automatic in general.
Manual.
Yeah. Manual. I think I would say manual too, but there's also something about huge paddles, like, you know, you mentioned F12 earlier, pulling one of those big paddles, there's something, some flair in it. So I'll say manual too, because yeah, then we're proper drivers and my audience won't.
Too automatic with the paddles, but manual is always nice also to do the heel and toe and all of this. This is very satisfying once you manage to make it.
You're showing off now, but okay, so moving on. V8 or V12 engine? V12?
Yeah.
So I just put out a video yesterday. A friend of mine, I own a 360 Modena, a manual 360 Modena, and he owns, I don't even want to say the brand, but it's got a V12 in it. And it was a comparison. I'm a V8 guy because I think it's more barky and shouty, and I like it. But okay, I get the V12 thing.
Yeah, probably
V12
for me.
Fair enough. Let's talk about, I mean, lockdown, it was a lot of Netflix time. So Drive to Survive, or did you see Michael Jordan's The Last Dance? Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. I should watch it. But I love Drive to Survive.
Who can't? I mean, it's what a season. I'm intrigued to see. I mean, every year I just want to see what's happened behind the scenes that we don't see on TV. So no, fair enough. Iconic Ferrari road cars, the Enzo or the LaFerrari?
Oof.
I will help you. I'm going to say Enzo just because that was my LaFerrari growing up. So that's my choice.
Yeah, so probably the LaFerrari for me is the LaFerrari growing up. Yeah. Probably LaFerrari.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a good car. I mean, you're not going wrong with either of those, are you? Okay, next up, fuel scientist or rocket scientist?
Fuel scientist.
Yeah, I mean, Shell, fuel scientist all the way. Running or cycling?
Cycling.
Do you go up all the coals and things like that? Do you go up all around Monaco and do you cycle a lot around there?
It's real cycling just because it's dangerous and during the season you don't want to get hurt. So during the off season I do quite a bit. During the season I don't do much, but I hate running, even though I do it quite often during the season, but I prefer cycling.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, no, that Route Le Turbie is the one that I'm always going up, but in a car, and cyclists are quite annoying, so I'm glad you're not there. Action movie or comedy?
Comedy.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Spa or Monza? I think I know what you're going to say, but you might surprise me.
Monza.
Yeah, Monza. I think Monza. I mean, if you're wearing Ferrari kit, you got to say Monza, right? Day or night racing?
Night racing.
Do you really enjoy it? Does it feel different when you go night racing?
Yeah, I mean, if you ever have the chance to, well, surely you drive road cars by night and by day, I'm sure, but if you go karting, by example, by night or by day, you feel a lot quicker by night. And this is exactly the same in a Formula One car. So you already feel fast by day, but the night racing, especially in Singapore, which is a street track too, is very impressive.
Sounds awesome. Race circuit or street circuit?
Street circuit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say that too. I've never driven on a street circuit, but I would pick street circuit. High speed or slow and technical?
High speed.
High speed, fair enough, yeah. I like slow and technical because high speed scares me, so I'm going to go slow and technical even though, yeah, I'm not on track that often. And then finally, wet or dry racing?
Wet.
It spices it up, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Unpredictability is always good. Well, that brings us to the end of our quickfire Q&A section. And also, I think we'll wrap up our time and our chat. I really appreciate it. Again, thanks to Shell for bringing us together. But thank you for taking the time. I wish you good luck this weekend and for the rest of the season. And yeah, it's been great to chat and been really, really interesting. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you so much, mate.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.